If I were to give a title to our resurrection message, I would give this title, Rooting Our Crisis Response in the Resurrection Doctrine. Rooting Our Crisis Response in the Resurrection Doctrine. You might be wondering why I'm connecting the doctrine of the resurrection to this present crisis. For the simple reason, brethren, that the crisis is really, as they say, the elephant in the room. That expression simply means it is so large you cannot ignore it. And to ignore it is really foolishness. And at the same time, I would like us to understand that the doctrines of Scripture are not simply theological doctrines that we cannot apply to our daily lives. That they are only useful for the church or when we are in church. They are only useful when we feel spiritual. No. The Word of God is the living Word. It is the living Word because it is Jesus Christ who is really the one who had given us this Word. And his life is infused in the words of Scripture. It is a living word because it is a word that gives life to those who were spiritually dead in their trespasses and sins. And now it is the very food for our souls who are redeemed. It is a living word because it is the word that impacts your life and mine every day. If we understand it correctly and apply it correctly, the impact is tremendous. It's almost indescribable. If the Word of God was simply meant for scholars or for ministers and pastors like this, why will God want the rest of His people to read it and to study it? Why is the preaching of His Word so important to God? It is primary in the ministry of the church. It is up there. It is number one. All the other ministries fall under the ministry of the preaching of the Word. And the truths of the Lord are not only beautiful and deep, but if we understand them correctly, they are intensely, intensely practical in our lives. Maybe not in the way that some people think, but they are intensely practical. And we are in a present crisis. A crisis that is not going to be going away soon. And unfortunately, it is worsening. The present COVID crisis has, in fact, taken an unprecedented turn for the worse. Here in our nation, we are worst off in this part of the world. Why are nations poorer than us doing so well? You will hear of nations biglang nagla-lockdown na. Why? Because there are about 25 they discovered COVID. Lockdown na. In many of the Southeast nations, life is practically back to normal. Practically back to normal. And yet here we are. We are in a situation that is worse than when it first started last March 2020. It's worse. And the behavior of the virus is more virulent. Mas mabilis po epekto. Mas mabilis. And that's a problem. And the pharmaceutical companies are admitting this. This is really actually the problem. Sa bilis ng pagdami ng variants, the vaccines cannot keep up. The vaccines cannot keep up. And brethren, we are continually challenged to respond as those who trust in the Lord. Take note of this. Not because there is a crisis, we can now, bahala ng pagiging Kristiyano, forget about it kasi may crisis. No. We are continually challenged to respond as those whose trust is in the Lord. The question is, what will set us apart from the rest of the world in terms of how we handle this crisis? What will set you apart from your neighbors, from those you work with, in the way that you respond to this crisis? Now, on one hand, brethren, to respond in fear, to respond in panic and hopelessness, to respond by continually just simply being focused on the crisis, will be to respond as those who have no God in their lives. We need to be careful. A certain level of anxiety is acceptable, but to be paralyzed by fear so as to let it affect your commitment as a believer is to respond to this as though you have no God in your lives, the way many out there are responding to this. On the other hand, to treat this, and I want you to listen to this, to treat this as just another virus, as just like the flu, and dismiss it that way, at the very least, in my opinion, is to belittle the suffering of tens of thousands of people that have gone through or are presently going through this virus. Kuha po ba ninyo yan? Because I've heard many fellow believers say that. Parang flu lang yan. Napakababa ng death rate. Ng percentage ng death rate compared to other sicknesses. I believe that it is so insensitive because we know of people who have suffered greatly. The common flu did not bring a medical crisis to any nation the way COVID has. And the suffering, oh, sino po sa atin dito nakaranas ng magka-trangkaso? In the past. Yung ordinary trangkaso. Amen. Ilan mo sa atin natakot nung nagka-trangkaso? Wala. Ilan mo sa atin na-ospital nung nagka-trangkaso? Unless pinabayaan mo na, nagka-pneumonia ka. Wala. Nagkabarahan ba sa mga ospital? Nagkaroon ba ng mga ECQ-ECQ? Dahil sa pangkaraniwang pong trangkaso? No. And the stories of people have suffered, intubated, and families. Ito nga pong kaklase ko, namatay yung kanyang asawa. And where was he? He couldn't come home. He's in New York. He had to go because he had to renew his passport. May dual citizenship po siya. Tapos namatay yung kanyang asawa within 1 week of having contracted the disease. It's so heartbreaking. And his is not the only story. We know of so many who, we know of someone whose husband was killed by COVID. The wife had COVID, but the wife somehow recovered from COVID. And until now, because of her frail health, the children have not told her that her husband died. Sabay sila na ospital. So for you to say that this is just like the flu, I believe at the very least is so insensitive. It is like belittling the suffering of tens of thousands. And at worst, to treat it lightly or to treat lightly a judgment of God upon the world through this calamity that has destroyed what we all knew as normal 13 or 14 months ago, to treat it lightly is to treat lightly the judgment of God. We must not forget, brethren, what God claimed about himself in Isaiah 45, verse 7. We've tackled this verse early on in this pandemic. It is a verse that has very much to do with his absolute sovereignty over all creation. Sabi ng Panginoon, the one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these. And whenever God creates calamity, allows calamity, ordains calamity in the Bible, it is always a form of judgment. So to treat this this pandemic lightly and brush it off, be careful, because you might be endangering of belittling the judgment of God. This pandemic was intended by God, I believe, to awaken people to the reality of their great and desperate need for Him. And our prayer should always be, Lord, let many more people come to You. Especially people who are in hospitals, those who are frontliners, who are continually exposed to this danger, let them call out to You. I believe that God had intended this to also bring people to repentance, to fear of Him. Mag-ingat po tayo. So to dismiss the seriousness of this crisis, I believe is to dismiss the seriousness of God's holy purposes for this calamity. We need to be very careful. Now, there are many biblical responses to this present studies that we had preached already from this pulpit. Not just me, but even our other pastors in this church. There are many biblical responses all throughout this past year. You've been hearing this. But there is one more. There is one more in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. We're very familiar with that verse, right? Let me just say, right off the bat, here is another possible response to this crisis. And as believers, we must continue to seek Scripture, to study Scripture, to find out, Lord, how else do You want me to respond to this present situation? But you see, there is more to this than what we can immediately see. In fact, what is more important to understand is the basis of this command in verse 58. The basis. In fact, even more than the command on its own, but the basis, which is directly related to what we are celebrating today, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many people, many believers, like to take verse 58 and use it isolated from the rest of the chapter. And because of that, the application becomes very superficial. In fact, wrong. Now, for us to appreciate 1 Corinthians 15, 58, we need to understand why Paul wrote this letter, 1 Corinthians, to the Corinthian church. Now, Paul wrote this from Ephesus at around AD 55 during his third missionary journey. You will find the story of his third missionary journey starting in Acts chapter 18, verse 23. Now, this church apparently was unable and unwilling to fully break from the culture from which it came. It was a culture of great immorality and wickedness. Doon ang galing po ang church pong ito. And that is why this church was problematic. It was a very wealthy church. It was a very gifted church. Then you've heard me say this already many times in the passages that we had studied in 1 Corinthians, that though this was church was gifted, it was so problematic. It was characterized by carnality, by immaturity, by worldliness, by compromise, by competition within the church. And that's why it became necessary for Paul to write this letter to address the problems of this church. Hindi porket malaki ang church, hindi porket mayaman ang church, hindi porket may building ang church, maayos ang church. Hindi po, not necessarily so. Now, although the major thrust of this letter is to correct behavior and not so much to teach doctrine, nonetheless, Paul here gives some very essential doctrines tucked into this letter. And the last doctrine that he discusses is the doctrine of the resurrection in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is or contains the most extensive discussion on the subject of the resurrection in the Bible.
Kaya nga, pag sinabi sa atin, 1 Corinthians 15, isa lang dapat kagad ang pumasok sa utak natin, resurrection. In the whole of Scripture, it contains the most extensive discussion on the resurrection. And the importance of the doctrine of the resurrection is the focus of this chapter. And if I were to summarize what it's trying to say, basically it is this. If there is no resurrection, then there is no salvation. Our faith as believers is futile, useless. Therefore, we are eternally doomed. We are still in our sins. We are not saved. We are all going to hell. And in fact, I think it's also in verse 18 when Paul said, we are to be most pitied of all people. Kasi pinaniniwalaan natin ang isang bagay na hindi totoo. Earlier, now open your Bibles with me to chapter 15. Earlier in chapter 15, Paul, it seems, may have been implicitly concerned that there were some in the Corinthian church who may have been wavering concerning the message of Jesus crucified. In other words, the gospel. You'll see that in verses 1 and 2. But here in chapter 15, his greater concern really was the Corinthian believers' confusion, not about the resurrection of Jesus, but about their own resurrection. Apparently, hindi mukhang masyadong problema sa kanila ang katunayan ng resurrection ng Panginoon. But there seemed to have been a question regarding their own resurrection, which ultimately will have an impact on their belief in the resurrection of Christ. Please take a quick look at verses 12 to 13. And so after giving or opening the chapter with a very quick summary of the gospel in verses 3 to 4, Paul then now launched into the longest teaching on the resurrection, as I've said, in the whole of Scripture. And then he ends chapter 15 with an exhortation to the Corinthians to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil in the Lord is not in vain. The question is, what did Paul now mean by his commands in this verse? How do we apply his commands in 1 Corinthians 15:58? In our Christian life, in whatever circumstance or trial we are facing. And so to understand verse 58, I divided this into three parts. And because I started preaching this late, I will not give to you all the three parts in one summary. You will just go through it. The first part is this. Understand the basis for Paul's commands. Understand this. And I've purposely put this in the form of a command. You want to appreciate the promise or the commands in verse 58? First thing we need to do is understand the basis for Paul's command. Again, read verse 58 with me. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil in the Lord is not in vain. Now, the first thing to note in this passage, brethren, is that it starts with the word therefore. Again, very important. These words should already warn us about something or make us alert about something. This verse cannot be taken on its own by virtue of the word therefore. It is connected to what Paul was saying earlier in the chapter. Kaya pag binunot mo yan at ginamit mo yan at sinubukan mong i-apply yan na hindi mo inunawa yung verse 4, I promise you, or you are already taking it out of context. And the moment you take it out of context, you will begin to apply it wrongly. Now, please do join me now in my effort to go through quickly what Paul had tackled in this chapter, this beautiful, powerful chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. If I were to summarize all of what Paul was saying from the start of chapter 15 by section, I would do it this way. Okay, ready po ba kayo? You're not going to appreciate this if you don't have your Bibles. So look at chapter 15. We're not going to read this. Okay, not all the verses at least. Now look at verses 1 and 2. In verses 1 and 2, as I've said earlier, Paul was implicitly expressing his concern for some in the Corinthian church who may have been falling away from the truth of the gospel. Now, do we note this? Because in verse 2, he was saying, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So why say that? It seems that he was implicitly concerned that some of them were wavering with regard to the truth of the gospel. And this brought him now, look at verses 1 and 2, to remind them that he had preached the gospel to them which they received. Huwag niyo kalimutan, ako nagturo sa inyo niyan. And then in verses 3 to 4, look at verses 3 to 4, he then gives a quick summary of the gospel mentioning Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And then in verses 5 to 11, take a quick look at verses 5 to 11. There he recounts the testimony of witnesses to the reality of Christ having risen from the dead. Tingnan po ninyo yung logic niya. Sinasabi niya, ang daming nakikita. Tignan nyo, kausapin ninyo. Kumbaga sa panahon po natin, ang daming pinagaling ng gamot na yan. Tignan nyo, kausapin ninyo. Don't just dismiss it. Because you will belittle their experience of having seen Christ. And then in verses 12 to 19, look at 12 to 19. Paul now addresses the issue of their confusion about their own resurrection. And here he launches into the logical implications and the conclusions of not having a resurrection from the dead. As I've mentioned earlier, in a nutshell, if there's no resurrection, then there is no salvation, then our faith as believers is futile and useless, and then we are doomed. We are the most kawawa of all people. Here in this section, 12 to 19, Paul was actually also making a case for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in all this, he was showing the importance of the bodily resurrection. Mahalaga ito. Now look at verses 20 to 28. After making a clear declaration of the fact of Christ having resurrected in verse 20, he now describes the order of what happens in the resurrection. Look at that passage. The first to be resurrected is Christ, and then those who are his will be resurrected at his coming. And then in verses 24 to 28, Paul describes what will happen at the end. And then in verses 29 to 34, okay, are you still following with me? Verses 29 to 34, Paul highlights the truth of the resurrection as the motivation for his suffering in his faithfulness and service to Christ. Dito nagtetestify siya tungkol sa sarili niya. Basically, in 29 to 34, Paul was basically saying, you know what? If there is no resurrection of both Jesus and his redeemed, why will I risk my life daily to preach Christ and his gospel? What's the point? That's what he was trying to say here. I'm not making money from you guys. What's the point of me suffering? Risking my life every day. And then in verses 35 to 49, tignan po ninyo, Paul now gets into a discussion about the resurrection bodies. Love this. I believe the highlight here is in verses 42 to 44 and verse 49. And please, just read this with me. 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in a perishable body. It is raised in an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, then there's a spiritual body. Look at verse 49. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Hallelujah. What a hopeful, beautiful truth. And I'm sure at this point, Paul was hoping that whatever confusion they had about, the believers in the Corinthian church had about their own resurrection, this would help them in that confusion, to be excited for their own resurrection. Now, this is important. All of these truths, from verse 1, all the way to verse 49. And we need to understand this. Now build up to the truths in verses 50 to 58. Now look at verses 50 to 58. After inserting a short description of the rapture of the believers in verses 51 to 53, meron dyan konting notes on the rapture na pwede mo idagdag sa 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 on Paul's teaching on the rapture, which is a little more extensive. What does Paul do? Paul then speaks of the believers' final victory over death in Christ in verses 54 to 57. Wow, what a climax. He now speaks from verse 54 to 57 of the believers' final victory over death in Christ Jesus. Praise God. And that is the immediate context of the command in verse 58. The believers' final victory over death in Christ. Because of that, which, by the way, was brought about by all the other truths from verse 1 to verse 49. He now gives us the command in verse 58. Now, brethren, what is my point in going through all the trouble of summarizing the sections in this chapter? Why have to go through that? It is this. Well, first of all, let me just say, verse 58 now becomes the response to the believer's ultimate triumph over death. Yan ang immediate context. Pakisingit lang po niyan. I forgot to mention it. After looking at everything that comes before verse 58, especially verses 50 to 57, the command in verse 58 is now our response to our ultimate triumph over death. If we had won over the power of death, then, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that whatever your toil is not in vain in the Lord, because you have triumphed over death. How? Because of all of those doctrines before verse 50. And that's my point for going through all the trouble of summarizing the sections in this chapter. Paul's commands here will be meaningless without the doctrinal foundations that undergird his commands. Meaningless yon. Walang katuturan. Kung tanggalin mo ang verse 1 to verse 57. Because for what should you and I be steadfast if the Lord our God is dead and we who are his followers have no prospect of living again? Diba? Why should we be steadfast? What for? What's the point of serving a dead and defeated Lord? Why seek to endure suffering for the faith? Kung patay naman ang Panginoon mo, at ikaw, pag namatay ka, para kang bulang nawala na lang. What's the point? Might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, right? Why should we even persevere in the Christian life? Why risk our lives if there is no victory over death for us in the end? What's the point? It would be pointless, even pointless, to study this last verse of this glorious chapter even. Kung wala yung verses 1 to 57, what's the point? My point is this. Our obedience to these commands is rooted in the truth that our Lord and Savior is risen and has won for us the final victory over death.
Okay po ba yun? Ulitin ko po. Basahin ko po ulit sa inyo yan. Our obedience to these commands is rooted in the truth that our Lord and Savior is risen and has won for us final victory over death. That's why we can be steadfast, and we must be steadfast, not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, not quickly discouraged and derailed from serving our Lord. Because guess what? The bottom line is this. Parang ending na po ng preaching ko to. Buhay ang Panginoon mo eh. At wala na pong kamatayan para sa atin. The body might die. This body might die. But guess what? The spirit lives on. And not only that, we will be given a new body. No more sickness. No more pain. Glorified bodies. No more tumor. No more ulcers. No more asthma for those of you. No more kung ano-ano pa. Why trade this world for what is awaiting you in eternity? Diba? Pag-inisip po natin yan, yan po hindi iniisip ng marami po mga Kristiyano na nagbabackslide o nanlalamig sa Panginoon. They'd rather join the world. Really? This world is being judged right now and you want to join it? And yet here we are. So the first thing we need to do to grasp what the Lord wants us to grasp with regard to the command in verse 58 is understand the basis for Paul's commands. This is the basis. This is not just Paul saying, oh, sige na, just be encouraged. Sige lang, tuloy mo lang. Just be steadfast. No. He was basically saying here, hoy, don't be afraid. If you're going to suffer persecution, don't be afraid. First of all, remember last Sunday, Jesus is our example. Secondly, hey, guess what? Even if they kill you, he has won the final victory over death. Death will not keep you in the grave. If you're going to be cremated, death will not keep you in the urn. So press on. The second thing we need to do is this. Know the meaning of Paul's commands. So understand the basis of Paul's commands. Now, know the meaning of Paul's commands. So after affectionately and lovingly addressing his readers, my beloved brethren, that's the heart of Paul. That's the heart of the pastor. My beloved brethren. Nakakainis po itong church na. It cost him a lot of pain, but still he says, my beloved brethren. Paul now commands them to do three things. In verse 58. So, again, in the light of our victory over death because of Jesus' resurrection, let's now try to understand what Paul's commands are and what they mean. His first command is this: be steadfast. Be steadfast. Literally, this word steadfast means sedentary. Meaning to say, hindi gumagalaw. Meaning to say, literally, seated, nakaupo. If you're using the NIV, it is translated, stand firm. If you're using the New English Translation, the NET Bible, it's translated, be firm. Here in verse 58, steadfast means hold your ground. Hey, hold your ground. And so metaphorically, this word means firm, settled in one's thinking or belief. Be steadfast in the belief that you are victorious over death because Jesus is risen from the grave. Don't give way to anything else. Be steadfast. Paul used the same Greek word in verse 37 of 1 Corinthians 7. Sabi po ni Paul, but he who stands firm in his heart. Ang firm po dun sa 1 Corinthians 7:37 means one who has made up his mind. Hey, make up your mind.
Huwag ka nang paganong-ganon ang pag-iisip at paniniwala.
He uses it also in Colossians 1:23 when he said, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast. In Colossians 1:23, it means not easily swayed away.
Dahil may napakinggan kang bago.
Be steadfast. See, actually, when you look at this word grammatically, it is an adjective. But the moment it is connected to the word be, which is a word that means to become, that adjective now becomes a finite verb. Be steadfast, making this now the first command. And the word be, grammatically, in the Greek, speaks of something that you are continually doing. So this speaks about continually being steadfast. Not just steadfast now kasi, whoa, now I understand. Whoa, okay yung preaching. So I'm steadfast now. Then tomorrow, something happens, di ka na steadfast. No, it is a command. It speaks of being continually steadfast. So let me summarize this. Be steadfast, therefore, is a command to believers to continually make themselves firmly settled in the truth that death and the fear of it no longer has any hold on us because of the doctrine of the resurrection. Are you getting this? No wonder the saints of old were willing to face burning at the stake, having their heads cut off, being fed alive to wild animals, willing to be boiled alive in oil. Because they continued to make themselves firmly settled in the truth that death no longer has any hold on them.
Yung iba nga po sa kanila, habang namamatay, pinapanalangin ang mga persecutors nila.
Praying for their salvation.
Why? Because at the end of it, all they understand, in a few minutes, I'll be dead. This body will be dead, but I will continue, however, to live, and this time, forever. Forever. Diba?
So basically, that is what that command means. The second command is be immovable. Now, the word immovable means not to be moved from its place, unmoved. It denotes being totally immobile, hindi magalaw-galaw, emotionless. Metaphorically, it means firmly persistent. Actually, it is a synonym to the word steadfast. Halos pareho po ang meaning. And again, although an adjective, this is implicitly connected to the verb be. So be steadfast, be immovable, making it the second command. In fact, if you're using the NIV, the NIV breaks this into a second sentence. Let nothing move you. If you use the NET Bible, do not be moved. Now, although immovable is a synonym to steadfast, bakit dinagdag po ito ni Paul? To intensify his first command. Be steadfast. Immovable, ha? Be immovable. Be steadfast. So, be immovable is a command to believers to not ever move away from the truth of our victory over death because of the resurrection. Don't ever be moved away from that. Don't ever. From the truth of your victory over death. And I believe, brethren, especially during our time, this truth, this statement that I'm making here is very important. Because persecution is already coming to the church in free nations.
It is. And many people today are facing a threat to their lives because of their faith in Christ. Plus, the virulence of this virus. Please don't think that just because you are a believer, hindi ka tatamaan ng virus na ito. Hyperfaith yun. Dahil meron na po tayong mga miyembro, tinamaan na po ng COVID. But praise God, by His grace, mild lamang symptoms, all of them have already recovered. We have a brother who's right now going through it, but so far, so good. But we don't know how many of us God will allow to suffer more in this. Question is, what will you do? Will you be asking God, Lord, why? Bakit ako? May pamilya ako. Or have you asked, Lord, there must be a higher purpose than me simply suffering. We have brethren who've been through it, and they were together with other people in the same room. And so he started sharing the gospel to the person beside him and to the next person beside him. Ayoko masayang. Yung iba naman po nakulong sa isang kwarto lamang, sa lang. Anong ginawa? Now is my time. We've been so busy. I've been so remiss in my time with the Lord. Now is the time to read the Bible. Then to read books that would deepen my understanding of the truths of God. Walang sayang. And we must not be afraid. Amen po ba? The third command, brethren, is always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. Now, this phrase can grammatically be translated, always be abounding. Now, we don't have time to look at the nuances of that grammatically, but just take my word for it. It can also be translated, always be abounding. Be steadfast, be immovable now. Be abounding always, making it the third command. In fact, when you look at the NIV, it translates it as a new sentence. Again, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. The NET Bible does the same thing. Always be outstanding in the work of the Lord. A third sentence, therefore, a third command. Now, that word abounding literally means to go beyond. It means to exceed. It means to overflow. Here, it means to excel. It means, as the NET Bible translates it, to be outstanding. It carries the idea of exceeding the requirements. Tagalogin natin. Hindi nagbibilang. Hindi nanunukat. Hindi tinitignan yung job description. Uy, wala na sa job description ko to ah. Maybe at your office you can do that, but not in the work of the Lord. Not in the work of the Lord. In fact, brethren, let me just say that this word, always abounding or abounding, kenos, is also translated in Ephesians 1, 7 to 8 as lavished. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished. I'm sorry, the word is perisuo. I'm thinking of another word. It is used the same way. Lavished. He lavished His grace. So in other words, para sinasabi po dito ni Pablo, keep lavishing your service to God. At the same time, the word abounding grammatically means you don't just do it now, you keep doing it. In fact, Paul adds the word always abounding. Double-double na po. Always abounding. So in other words, brethren, let me summarize this third command to you. Our victory over death
should cause every believer to excel, to go beyond ourselves, to overflow in serving the cause of Christ, never allowing ourselves to slacken in it no matter what. That's the way I would summarize basically the meaning, putting together all the meanings of the word in the Greek. Our victory over death should cause us to excel, to go beyond ourselves, to overflow in serving the cause of Christ, never allowing ourselves to slacken in it, no matter what. Especially, brethren, in this ever-worsening crisis, every believer should work with all his heart, with all his energy, as God has gifted us, as God leads us, all the more. We must desire to continue to give the best of our resources, our money, our time, our energy, talents, gifts, our bodies, our minds, in the work of the Lord. People, there are just too many souls lost to damnation too quickly and too soon because of this virus. There were many people who never expected that their loved ones would die last year or this year. And the numbers are just building up. And many of them have not heard the gospel. Now, we may not be able to reach those who are already being intubated, but how about those who are still fine among our relatives, among our loved ones, among our friends? Because if the infection rate is almost 25%, one out of every four persons would get COVID. Now, we don't know how you will respond, your body will respond to that. Kung kamag-anak mo yan, kung ikaw tamaan yan, well, save ka na. Diba? Worst comes to worst, you'll be looking down at us, personally worshiping the Lord there, and you will be saying, "'Twas worth it." But how about those who do not know Jesus? What are we doing to lessen the numbers of these souls in this race against time? We need to stretch our creativity. We need to stretch our influence where God has placed us to reach as many as we can with the hope that can only be found in Christ. So, kung ikaw, doktor, may captive audience ka, why not prepare a gospel track so that every patient that you attend to, ito, basahin mo to. Ito, ito yung reseta ko para sa'yo, okay? Gamot yan para sa katawan mo, ito, mas magandang gamot ito. Basahin mo to, ha? Kasi gamot yan para sa kaluluwa. Your patients in the hospital, wow, you know what? They're not doing anything. Give them something to read. Give them the gospel to read. Be creative. You've heard me mention this in the past. Dentista ka, nagro-root canal ka. Wow, dalawang oras yun. Habang nakanganga yun, ibanghelyoan mo, hindi makakareklamo yun. Di ba, samantalihin mo na. Habang binubunot mo yung ngipin, do you know that if you don't receive Christ, you will go to hell? Yeah, talaga. Di ba? Samantalihin mo na. So as someone put it, our praise and thanksgiving must be given hands and feet. I love that. Our praise and thanksgiving must be given hands and feet. So understand the basis of Paul's command. Know the meaning of Paul's command. And the last part is this. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Remember the motivation for Paul's commands. He says in the last part of verse 58, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Wow. As if what he had already mentioned about the gospel, about the resurrection, about victory over death was not enough, Paul here gives his three previous commands a motivation we must continually know. That's why he says, knowing. We're not supposed to know it only now, but we need to continually know this motivation. Let's break down this part of the verse quickly. Toil, knowing that your toil, I like that word used by the NASB. The word toil means intense labor united with trouble and toiling. Or another way of saying it is laboring to the point of exhaustion. If you're working and you come home still not tired, you have not toiled. You just worked. Yan ang ibig sabihin po niyaan. That your toil, this already tells us, brethren, that serving the Lord is not easy. Serving the Lord is not a walk in the park. It requires sacrifice. You know, brethren, all the other popular translations, NIV, ESV, NKJV, King James, Net Bible, I've looked at them. All of them use the word labor, that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Only the NASB uses the word toil. And for me, I believe it captures the intended picture here. I looked at the word toil in the thesaurus to look at its synonyms, and it's very interesting. Ito yung mga, some of the synonyms, no? Toil. Work one's fingers to the bone. Do you see the picture? You keep working hanggang lumabas na yung buto ng fingers mo. Work like a dog. Work day and night. Keep one's nose to the grindstone. Alam niyo, ibig sabihin yun, during those times, you grind grain, and pagpagod na pagod ka na, you keep on bowing down until your nose is almost to the grindstone. Another synonym, slave away. Wow, what a picture. You're slaving away. That's the word toil. And then look at the word vain. The word vain, brethren, is the Greek word kenos, which literally means empty, without content. By the way, that Greek word kenos is used also by Paul in another form in Philippians 2:7, talking about the emptying of Christ of himself. And theologically, that verse, Philippians 2:7, is known as the kenosis, the emptying of Christ. It's a beautiful word, kenos. Now, metaphorically then, it means that which results in nothing, something that is fruitless, without effect or result, futile. So, to summarize, this motivation, knowing that your toil in the Lord is not in vain in the Lord. Brethren, we are called to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because we know that whatever we do, whatever we sacrifice, whatever we suffer in the Lord. Now, what do I mean by in the Lord? What do I believe in the Lord means? For the sake of the Lord and His cause. Done in His power and His way. That is what that phrase in the Lord, I believe, means. Whatever we do, we sacrifice, we suffer in the Lord, can never fail to accomplish His holy purposes. Will never be wasted. Will never be fruitless. Even if right now, hindi ka pinapansin ng inibanghelyohan mo. Even if right now, you are being mocked and you don't see immediate fruit. Think the father of modern missions, William Carey, labored for 5 years in India before he saw his first convert. And basically he said, I think I told you the story in the past. Basically he said, if one got saved, there are hundreds of thousands more coming behind him. If the Lord could save one, there are hundreds of thousands more coming before him. And so he continued to labor in India without taking any furlough for I don't know how many years. 50 years? My memory, I'm not sure my memory is serving me right here, but for 50 years or something like that. Never taking a furlough. Abounding in the work of the Lord. He did not give up because he believed that he can never fail to accomplish. Though whatever toiling in the Lord we do can never fail to accomplish his holy purposes. Walang sayang. Amen? Walang sayang. Brethren, the key doctrines of our faith, like the doctrine of the resurrection today, in the gospel last Sunday, I hope you had listened to that if you're not attending the 10 o'clock or 1 o'clock service, have tremendous impact not only in our daily lives, but even in major circumstances as well, like this present pandemic. And that is why, brethren, instead of responding in hopelessness and despair, instead of responding in selfishness and pure self-preservation on one hand, or instead of responding in careless lack of concern or unfounded carefreeness on the other hand, in this present situation, we who are in Christ, who have the promise of the resurrection, we who have been given victory over death, are commanded to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Friends, this is not a time to slacken, but rather a time to pour ourselves in obeying these commands, because time is of the essence. You want to know another biblical response to this crisis? Here's another one. Here's another one. And friends, at the end of all this, rest assured that every good work believers do in this life has eternal benefits that the Lord himself guarantees. Look at Revelation 22, verse 12. And I'm ending this preaching with this verse. Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, Jesus said, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. What a motivation. It is never in vain, because God will accomplish his holy purposes. Plus, Revelation 22:12, hey, he will reward everyone according to what he has done. And what he has done there is connected to what he has done in the kingdom or for the kingdom. Amen? Jesus is risen, and he is alive forevermore. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your word today, and I know, Lord, that we had extended. But I pray, Lord, that your word truly ministered to your children as it administered to me. What a blessing to be a believer, to know Jesus, to have his word, his truth, to know his promises, and to have the prospect of being raised again to live for all eternity, because our Lord is alive forevermore. He is the greatest of all, Lord. There is no one like him. There is no name like his name. And we thank you, Lord, that Jesus is the sweetest name for us ever to declare. Not even impersonally, Lord, but personally. This Jesus is our Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you all just close with this song, please? Alam ko pong alas 12 na po, pero it's Resurrection Sunday. Can we just sing this song, No Other Name? In our hearts and minds. Help us remember the beautiful truth of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and because of that resurrection, our resurrection too, sealing our final triumph over sin and death. So help us to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding, Lord, in serving you, knowing that whatever we do in your name, in your way, for your purposes, Lord, will accomplish your will. Thank you, Lord. As we give of our tithes and offerings, Father, help us to give always with joy. Help us to give as a form of worship. Help us to give as an expression of our love for you and the work here in our church. Also as an expression of faith and obedience, especially, Lord God, if we're having financial difficulties. And yet every day, Lord, you put food on our tables. Lord, guide us in our giving. Guide us. And as we go from this place, your protection be upon each one. Please, I beg you, Lord, protect each one and their families from COVID. Please, Lord. Please protect our doctors who are continually ministering to the sick. Protect all our frontliners, Lord God. Thank you, Father. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, Paul. Please greet the people around you. Happy Resurrection Day.